It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA Music Mix.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings. I have another great show for you today. We're going to welcome two big names into our studio. We got enough room for two big names in this studio. Jay Stolar is coming in to join us, and also Keith Urban. Keith Urban, one of the hottest country music performers on the planet these days. So stick around. We've got a very special Border Crossings in store for you. It's Jay Stolar and Keith Urban right here on Border Crossings.
I believe that it gets better than this. 'Cause I can't seem to settle for less. I believe hearts should pound in their chest. But it's not easy, maybe we should give it a rest. And as our hearts are beating, our souls are bleeding. When your heart stops beating, where do we go? And if our lives, they hang in our Maker's hand, what's the heart and soul of a man? But if our lives, they hang in our
London, welcome to Border Crossings. In our studios, Jay Stolar, who is on the road right now for a brand new album, and we're very happy to have him in our studios here in Washington, D.C., and we welcome you, Jay.
Thank you, Larry.
Now, is this the first time for you in D.C.?
This is not the first time in D.C. This is my first time in this room.
You. This part of D.C.
This whole thing is a little new for me. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've been doing music for a while now, I guess 2004, 2003. Yeah. And you were with a band at that time.
Yes.
Julius C.
Yeah, that was the name of the band.
Now, I mean, how much different or how similar is what you were doing in Julius C. to what you're doing today?
It's pretty different, I would say. Julius C. at first was like a very heavy funk rock band, kind of like Parliament Funkadelic meets Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
Yeah. And what I do now is more like organic pop soul music. So I would say that the similarity is just soulfulness to the music. But that was very hard, like electric guitars and really heavy drums and distorted bass. It was fun for a while, and then it just stopped being real for me.
Now, when you create a niche or a groove or a sound for yourself that kind of follows you where you go, and then you decide, I'm going to get away from that sound altogether, isn't that a risky change when you say, I'm going to do something different now? I'm still Jay Stolar, but this is not what my fans are used to. I'm doing something different.
Yeah. I would say it was one of the scariest and hardest things I've ever had to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got together with the bass player, who was the other songwriter in the band, we just sat there and I asked each other, like, do you feel like you're growing, you know, as an artist? And both of us kind of looked at each other and said, not really. You know, something's kind of ended here. So let's take our chances and move forward. And, you know, I kind of said I'd rather have the little flame that I had than everything that was moving with Julius C. with really no passion or inspiration.
Right.
So, but it's paid off, which has been nice.
Yeah. The buzz is very good for you. You know, I know you did a South by Southwest conference. And you've done a bunch of other stuff, and including international performances, which we'll talk about as we go through the next half hour. But before we get too deeply involved, I wanted to have you do a song for us.
Sure, you got it.
If you would. What are you going to do?
I think I'm going to play the first single off the album called Like You Do.
And you wrote this song about?
I wrote this song. This song is about doubt in a relationship and then finding that moment where you realize that the doubt is really just your own fear and you can actually really love someone.
All right.
So, Larry, when you find that moment of understanding what I'm talking about in the song, you can feel it now.
I'll be listening closely.
Happens like 2 minutes and 37 seconds into it.
Jay Stolar, you're on The Voice of America.
I got it all. No complaints. I understand this place. When I get home, will you be in? Will I lose it all and pull away like you do? Like you do. But you know this is the world that turns for the living. This is the world we change. Yours is the heart that keeps on giving. Yours is the heart I'm chained to. Like you do. Like you do. I see the future. I see the shape of things to come my way. We get older as we decay. Will I lose it all and pull away like you do? Like you do. But you know this is the world that turns for the living. This is the world we change to. Yours is the heart that keeps on giving. Yours is the heart I'm chained to. Like you do. Like you do. Oh, but these are the lives we lead. Living in a world that's bleeding. This
this is the love we need. You are the only reason, baby. Nobody does it like you.
That sounds great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I love it. Your voice is great. It kind of, you know, as I could have closed my eyes and I was hearing a combination of, I don't know, Robin Thicke and Josh Kelly and a little mixed in. But I know those aren't the influences that you have.
Well, Robin Thicke, actually, funny enough, have you ever heard Robin Thicke's first album called A Beautiful World?
When he had the long hair, no, I didn't hear much of it. I heard a little of it, but not much.
Long hair was a little bit of shame.
Six albums
ago. I love you, Robin Thicke, but you got the hair together. but that album is one of my favorite albums. Mm-hmm. It's super, super creative, and he sounds so good, and it mixes like the Beatles and hip-hop and funk, R&B. Mm-hmm. So that actually was a pretty big influence on me. It came out the same time as Justified by Justin Timberlake, so like 2002 or mm-hmm, something like that.
And you're, you know, based on what I'm reading, you're a product of soul music.
I mean,
you all the artists you know cited in your bio: Ray Charles, Bill Withers, mm-hmm. Otis Redding. Mm-hmm. These are the greats. So they had the biggest impact on your decision or your sound.
Yeah, I mean, especially Bill Withers. He's mm-hmm. just such a truthful songwriter to wake up in the morning and know you wrote Lean On Me. That's got to be a pretty powerful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something in the passion of that music that really gets me.
Mm-hmm.
My mom also, when she was pregnant with me, went to a Marvin Gaye concert.
Oh, there it is.
Earth, Wind & Fire concert. So I'm pretty confident that that's the reason. So thank you, Mom.
Yeah, there you go.
And thank you, Marvin Gaye.
You were introduced in the womb to soul music.
Yeah.
Now, Jay Stolar, your new album is called More Than We Think. How many albums is this for? Is this the first one?
This is the first one.
The very first one?
Very first one.
Why'd you wait so long?
Well, I was in the band for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the band broke up, it took about a year of just writing. That's all I did. And then it took about a year of just production. So I knew that when it came time to do this first album, I wanted every note, every lyric, every sound to be representative of who I was at the time, you know, mm-hmm. really put out something authentic and challenge myself to get closer to my potential as an artist, you know, and say something.
And there you are on stage doing your thing, and a well-respected engineer says, you know, you got something, and I want to work with you.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing story.
It was an amazing moment, and mm-hmm. it felt really cool, yeah.
And so, you know, the new album is it's out now?
Yeah.
And people can get it on your website, or where can people
go to find
it?
Yeah, they can get it on iTunes, mm-hmm. Spotify, Amazon.
Mm-hmm. What's your website?
It's just jstolar.com.
jstolar.com.
Very creative and original.
Very original. Yeah. And that, of course, has the schedule for your touring and your acts and where you go and where your shows are.
Yeah.
And I see that you've done 500 shows in a year. How do you fit 500 shows in 365 days?
Well, no. It wasn't 500 shows in 1 year. Is that what the bio
That's said? What it said. Well, it's 500 shows in a year, yeah.
Well, that's a typo.
Well, it wouldn't be 500 shows in 7 years, but...
No, it was probably 500 shows in like 4 years, I think is what it was with Julius mm-hmm. C. And then in the last year, I've probably played about like 70 or 80 now with this new music.
Mm-hmm. And what's the plan for the year ahead, for 2014?
Well, ideally, it'd be Madison Square Garden by like next winter. That would be really nice.
Uh-huh.
No, the plan is to just continue playing and get the music out as much as possible and tour nationally and internationally and do everything I can to keep pushing the message of my music and, mm-hmm. you know, eventually play for thousands and thousands of people.
Now, you say internationally for the future, you've done a lot of international stuff.
I haven't done a ton, but I've done some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played a bit in Israel once, and I played in the UK, and I'm about to go back out to London, other parts of England, France, mm-hmm. Belgium, the Netherlands, and Germany.
And that's where you're going, but you haven't been there yet to those places?
I've been to some of them, but I haven't been to all those
places.
Now,
what do you find is the difference between, I mean, you're a New York music guy, so what do you find the difference between the American music fans and the audiences around the world where we are broadcasting right now, you as a performer on stage?
Right. Well, I wouldn't say it's much different than like the middle of America. Mm-hmm. New York and Los Angeles and DC, all the big cities, like we see a lot, you know, so we're a little harder to please, mm-hmm. I would say. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of noise. But when you go, like when I go to Michigan or Wisconsin and then the same thing in some of the more rural parts of England, they don't see as much music, you know, so then there's not as much to do. So on mm-hmm. a Friday night, people are coming out just to see music. It's a little bit different than, at least knowing in New York City, like I can go see a movie, I can go see Stevie Wonder, I can go see John Mayer, I can go to a comedy club, I can get dinner at 70,000 different restaurants. You know, it's people are very, very appreciative of music out in Europe, I found.
Mm-hmm. And why did you choose this as your career? I mean, has it always been music?
It's always been music, yeah. Mm-hmm. I started playing when I was really young, and when I was 9 years old, they had a moving up play where, like, moving up to sixth grade, and they went around the room to audition everyone for singing. And I knew I sang a little bit, but I'd never really sung loudly in front of people. And I did, and all of a sudden people were like, whoa, you're really good at this. And I was never really good at basketball or soccer or anything like that. So it felt like, okay, this is my thing. And from that moment on, it's all I've ever done.
Hmm. And if you were to create your dream band, a group that would be with you for a show, for a concert, for maybe an album, who would your dream band be? Who would you like to work with?
Oh, man. That's a cool question.
Well, that's what I'm here for, the cool questions.
Paul McCartney, 100%. So there's a couple, like, older idols. How many people can be in this band?
You name it. It's your band.
It's my band.
As much as you can afford.
So I definitely have the two Pauls. Well, I assume they'd want to do it just because they like my music so much.
There you go.
Paul McCartney, Paul Simon, for sure. And on the modern front, it'd be really cool to have Adele in my band, get to work with her. I'd love to have Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing bass, just super creative bass player. And then as a drummer, that's a hard one. I think maybe Steve Gadd. Do you know Steve Gadd?
Mm-mm.
He's one of the greatest session drummers of all time. Plays with James Taylor. He's played with tons of people.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe James Taylor would be in the band, too.
Well, there you go.
Oh, and Prince would be...
And Prince, too.
Prince would just be there to play anything that people can't do. Prince would just fill in on whatever and make us all feel horrible about ourselves because he's so brilliantly talented.
Jay Stolar is in our studios here on The Voice of America, and the new album is called More Than We Think, which is now available. And I'd like to ask if you wouldn't mind doing another song for us.
You got it. This is one of my favorite songs on the album called Holding You All Through the Night. And it's really a song of healing. Like if people have been through a challenging time, this is a song for working through hard times.
I have been crying. I've been crying, babe, thinking of you. And I know, yes, I know that lately I'm wasting time, but I need you to know, when the world tumbles down, I'll be holding you all through the night. And if I'm not around, I'll be watching you, holding you all through the night. Holding you all through the night. Holding you all. Through the night, you make me smile. I
smile, baby, when I'm feeling sorry. And it's a cry it's a crime that lately we're in such a hurry. But I need you to know, when the world tumbles down, I'll be holding you, holding you all through the night. And if I'm not around, I'll be watching you, holding you all through the night, holding you all through the night, holding you all through the night. Oh, oh.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Jay Stolar is in our studios here at the Voice of America. This is Border Crossings, and the new album is More Than We Think. Now, looking at all of the song titles, mm-hmm. I would say that there's something going on here. This is a story. There seems to be a thread, and the thread seems to be a relationship that didn't work out. So I'm wondering, is this, you know, autobiographical, or
well,
did you set out to make this a you know, Fall Apart is the first track off the album? Is that kind of what you, the message, or were you just, this is where you were when you wrote this album, or what?
Yeah, I'd say it's really where I was and where I was getting to the point of writing the album. I've struggled with some challenges with depression in my life and some challenging things emotionally. And I think a lot of those titles really, a lot of the songs, even though they're wrapped up in relationships, are about my own struggles and just finding my way through this sometimes challenging world, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's something I really believe in too, and just helping people see that, you know, it's okay to talk about the things that are hard for you, and hopefully my music can be inspirational for other people, you know, helping themselves get through stuff that's hard. But yeah, I've had some bad relationships that sucked.
Yeah, we all have. But you know, I mean, I don't want to make this all about depression now, but you touched on something, you know, as a musician who writes songs as your, it's your therapy, it's therapeutic, it's the way you can express your feelings, your thoughts, yourself. You put it down and it's there forever. So how would you, I mean, what do you, kind of advice would you give to somebody who might be going through similar challenges in their lives? Maybe they don't have the creative outlet of music.
Right.
How did you persevere? How did you get through that?
I would say talk about it. You know, that if anything, the thing that saved me besides music is just being able to communicate about my own challenges with my friends and with my family. Not being afraid to say, hey, this is something I'm going through and I'm going to find my way to the next place. You mm-hmm. know, if anything, I think it makes you stronger and puts you in a place where you really appreciate what it's like to feel good, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. You know, we've had, you know, we had a guest on recently, Brian Milson, who his music, his song, his mission right now is to help promote bullying awareness. Mm. This is going on. And so, and you touch on this is going on for you and your thought. It's amazing. I don't think musicians 30 years ago dealt with personal subjects. I don't think they really showed a whole lot of what was going on in their own lives when they wrote songs. It's kind of, things have changed.
You know, it really has. And as things continue to grow, I feel like I have an opportunity to help. And it's an important issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a lot of really horrible things happening throughout our country and the world that have to do with mental illness and people not understanding, and, you know, kids who have mental illness getting bullied to the point where, you know, that poor girl recently who committed suicide. So if I can do the tiniest bit to help make that not happen as much, you know.
Well, that's great, because people like yourself have an audience, have people, an interested party who's listening to what you have to say through music and otherwise. So it's great that you're using your fame for that. And not to make this, you know, depressing or you know, the low lights, highlights for Jay Stolar. What has been your highlight so far in your journey, which began, I don't know, almost 10 years ago?
Well, I'd say most of them have been this year, you know. That song Like You Do is now number 38 on the Billboard Indicator chart, which means it's playing on top 40 radio as well around the country. And we just did a Kickstarter project and raised $50,000.
Wow.
And now I'm going on a national tour and then now an international tour in January. So to feel like I took that time to write the music and now it's really starting to grow is, that's all I could ask for, you know?
Do you do writing for other people? Have you written for other people?
I have, actually. I've done some writing for other people.
Is that harder or easier? Because they're kind of singing your song versus you singing your song.
It's just different. Mm-hmm. It's just different. I really enjoy writing with people. So working with an artist and finding a song for them that they really connect to, and then it goes on a record. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not about anything super serious, it's just an exciting thing to see someone else singing music that you created together. One of the girls that I co-wrote and produced her album, she's on The Voice right now, actually. Her name's Caroline Pennell. Yeah, she's amazing. And then I'm writing and producing an album for a woman named Alice Tan Ridley, who is on America's Got Talent. So she's amazing. She's 60 years old, sang in the subway in New York for 20 years, went on America's Got Talent, got all this publicity, and now is putting out her first album. Maybe she's 61, so it's...
Wow. That's amazing. And I kind of, you know, I find that amazing in and of itself, that all these people who've released albums, not the subway singer, but there's other people who put out albums, and then they end up on these reality TV shows. I thought the whole idea was to be undiscovered and get discovered, not to be somebody who's already done it.
Yeah, it's an interesting American thing that we started that's now taken over the whole world. But look, it's great. You have people that would never have the opportunity to get in front of people, you know, and you look on those shows and it's like someone who's homeless living in San Antonio and now they're singing for 10 million people.
Right.
That's where those shows, that's where the glass is half full.
Mm.
I met someone the other day who who knows Bill Clinton, and he said Bill Clinton always thinks with the glass half full. So I've made a pact to try to be more like Bill Clinton. No, I heard him speak at a graduation at NYU once, and he was just like...
Inspirational, huh?
Super inspirational. Yeah.
What is your favorite part of the business? Is it the songwriting? Is it the singing? The recording?
I think it's just that whole creative process, which is really has three parts, from writing the song, producing the song, and then performing the song. Mm-hmm. So you're taking this one thing, like you come to a day with nothing but maybe with a guitar, maybe no guitar, maybe piano, maybe a computer, whatever it is. And then a year later, 6 months later, it's on a recording, and then you're playing it for people, and it's different every night. So to see this work transform constantly and have different effects on people and sound different, and that to me is very exciting, you know. Mm-hmm. And to be able to say something powerful in 3 minutes is really hard. But
oh, yeah. Now, do you write the lyrics or the melody first, or does it change?
It changes, yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, though, the most natural thing is like just playing something. Usually I actually end up playing some kind of bass line type thing. Like I wrote something yesterday. So something simple like that, and then I'll start singing over that, and then record it, and then go back and be like, ooh, that's terrible. That's terrible. And then listen to one thing and be like, that's interesting, you know, and try to extract from the source material of what came naturally.
Inspired stuff. I admire songwriters because it's just kind of, to me, I mean, as you're putting things together and you're writing melodies and there's no connection to lyrics at that point, you start singing, as you say, where are you getting words from? You're just kind of, oh, I'm going to sing about straw hats. I don't know, unless there's a story you're telling.
Well, I think it's different for everybody, but I find that if I come up with something and then improvise for a bit, and usually it'll come from a deep place and I'll start saying some words that usually don't make any sense, but when I listen back to them, there's always a phrase or two that is very revealing. Like that song, Holding You All Through the Night, I just played. I'm pretty sure the only thing that came first was Holding You All Through the Night and those O's. And then it's like, okay, well, what is that about? And the story starts kind of like backwards storytelling.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like I say, I really look up to people like yourself.
Oh, we should write a song, Larry.
Well, I wouldn't contribute a whole lot. But, you're a one-man operation. I don't like to use the word one-man band, but you're a one-man operation. You record, you produce, you write, and you play all these instruments, too. I mean, how many instruments at latest count?
The ones that I play, like, effectively are guitar, bass, piano, and then I could play, like, synthesizers and different kinds of electronic keyboards and stuff. And then I beatbox a little bit and sing.
Put it all together, and it is Jay Stoller.
Put it all together, you get Jay Stoller.
All right, would you do another song for us?
Yeah, sure. I was trying to think of which one to do. All right, we'll try this. We'll
do one that that you really like and you're in the mood for. I know you like them all because they're all your kids, but you're in the mood for in this day and time that you're hoping your record label will say, this is the second single.
Okay, I think this would be the second single. This is a song about when you do really dumb things in relationships that you don't intend to do.
When I'm acting cold and you're feeling all alone, I want you to know it's not what you think is going on. I'm just acting crazy, baby, I'm not trying to play games with your head. I'm just acting crazy, baby, that is just the kind of mood I'm in. Oh, so kiss me, hold me close, and baby, I will come back home. Whisper that you know me, baby, and I will come back home. I'm just acting crazy. I'm just acting crazy. I know you're losing trust and you're losing faith in us, but I need you to see it's not the way I'm trying to be. I'm just acting crazy, baby, I'm not trying to play games with your head. I'm just acting crazy, baby, I'm not trying to find a mood I'm in. Oh, so kiss me, hold me close, and baby, I will come back home. just acting crazy. I'm just acting crazy. Just acting crazy. Save me. I know how I've been acting lately. Babe, I need you to wake me. I know I'm cold. Save me. I know that I've been acting crazy. But what would I be without you bringing me back home? I'm just acting crazy. I'm just acting crazy, baby, yeah. I'm just acting crazy. That is just the kind of mood I'm in. Oh, so kiss me, hold me close, and baby, I will come back home to whisper that you know me, baby. Welcome back home. I'm just acting crazy. I'm just acting crazy. Baby, I'm just acting crazy. I'm just acting crazy. Woo!
That's great. All right. Jay Stolar. And Justin Timberlake called. He wants his beatbox back.
Okay, cool. Justin, let's hang out.
I like your music. I like your sound.
Thank you, Larry.
Really, really. Good sound. Really nice. Great voice.
Yeah, you should see you with a band. It's interesting doing it like this. I don't get to do it a lot. So thanks for the opportunity.
No, it's a pleasure to have you in the studios, and I hope you'll come back.
Oh, I would love to come back.
We'd love to have you again. And so what, again, is the address for people to get the album if they'd like to buy a copy online?
So just if you go into iTunes, just type in Jay Stolar or go to jstolar.com and... hopefully there'll be some videos online for my show tonight in D.C. So when you're hearing this, go online and watch videos of me.
And go to his website to get the international dates.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
People can come out and see you and support you all throughout Europe and
yep.
Asia and wherever it is you're traveling to in the year ahead. Continued success to you.
Thank you,
Larry. And like I said, come back and see us again. Jay Stolar, the album is More Than We Think, and this is the Voice of America.
Larry London. I wish I could take a cab down to the creek and hang a disco ball from an old oak tree. Smoke and drink once in a while, somehow it'd be good for me. I want a cool chick that'll cook for me, but it'll dance on the bar in her tan bare feet and do what I want when I want. She'll do it with me. I don't need too much of nothing. I just want to sing a little chill song, get my groove on, pour something strong down in my drink. Oh, no, that I don't need a whole lot of anything. I just want a little bit of everything. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na. I just want a little bit of everything. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na. Whoa. Now, I don't need a garage full of cars, but I'll take a whole box. Cuban cigars and I smoke them nice and slow, like they were good for me. Don't need a ranch or a big piece of land, but I like to get a little bit of dirt on my hands. A big old couch in a big old room still feels lonely when it's just you. Yes, it does. I don't need too much of nothing. I just want to sing a little chill song and get my groove on. Pour something strong down in my drink. Oh, no, that I don't need a whole lot of. need too much of nothing. I just want to sing a little chill song, get my groove on, pour something strong down in my drink. Well, know that I don't need a whole lot of anything. I just want a little bit of everything. Na-na-na-na.
With me right now from Nashville in studio, Keith Urban, one of the greats in country music today, and it's a pleasure to have you here on the Voice of America Worldwide, and congratulations on your new album, Fuse. Nice to meet you and to talk with you. Now, first of all, the new album, I understand, it's not just one album, you're putting out two versions of it. Can you kind of explain what's happening with this album?
Well, I mean, most people are putting out, you know, two variations on an album these days. This is no different. It's a 16-song album, but we've got a 13-song version available too, but either way, you're gonna get to understand, you know, a lot about me from this record.
Mm-hmm. Now, the album, from what I'm told, is very personal, and from, you know, the music that I was listening to, some of the songs, you know, like Good Thing and She's My 11, I was trying to figure out how these connect to you. When you were writing these songs, what was going on in your life?
I can't say it's a personal record from top to bottom. There's a big mix of these things. It's certainly, I mean, what we do live is it's hard to define what it is that we do live, but it covers a lot of ground. And this record is, there's all I can say, there's an energy about this record that we've never quite captured before. And I think it's seems to be really, really connecting with a lot of people already.
Favorites on the album? I know they're all your favorites, but, you know, if you could isolate a couple of songs that stand out among the pack to you.
Well, they're so different. That's the thing about this record. You know, it's hard. If you hear one song, it won't be indicative of the whole album. So there's a real good variation of everything on this record. So it's really impossible for me to pick a favorite or a standout track.
Now, why did you call the album Fuse?
A lot of reasons. I mean, it started with just trying to bring things together, instruments, sounds, rhythms, and so forth, to fuse things together that I hadn't done before to this degree. And it was also then bringing some writers and producers together that I hadn't worked with. And it was just all these elements from writers, producers, instruments, sounds, everything being fused together in a way that was, you know, different from me.
And you mentioned bringing a bunch of instruments together. You, you know, from what I've read, play a number of instruments. You're known for the guitar. People see you playing the guitar, and of course, piano. You played for years. The sitar and drums.
Well, my dad's a drummer, so I've dabbled in drums most of my life. But I at the end of the day, I always consider myself a guitar player who can sort of hack away on a few other things as well.
You know? And what is a bouzouki?
Bouzouki is, well, originally it's a Greek instrument, but I've used it a lot on my records over the years. It's, I mean, in sonically, it ends up sounding a little bit like a sort of a bigger, deeper mandolin, if you will. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Now, you are returning for, and we'll talk about American Idol here for a minute. You're returning to the show for the 13th season. Do you find yourself being more critical of your own music now that you've actually been sitting on a judge's panel? Has that changed the way you see yourself and your own music?
No, not really. I mean, I think I've always been hypercritical of what I do, like probably most artists, but I do what I do, you know, and this record is something that, given how many people were involved on different songs and how long this record took, which was probably a year and a half plus in the making, I'm thrilled that it's turned out the way it has. And I think as an artist, I'm surprised that I'm so satiated with the way the record turned out, because it was quite a big undertaking.
Last year, you did a song with Tim McGraw and Taylor Swift. Now, for the new album, you're working with Miranda Lambert and Eric Church. So, yeah, that must be fun.
Yeah. I've got a couple of duets on this record. Eric, I've known for a couple of years, and I came upon this song called Raise 'Em Up that was... It was just a perfect song for us, and I'm really glad he wanted to be on the record. And then Miranda opened some shows for us many years ago. And, you know, we used to sing together at the end of the night. And I always loved the way our voices sounded together. So in the back of my mind, I've always had the hope that I could find a song one day that we could do. And this song called We Were Us came along. And it was, you know, just the right song at the right time.
Rearview crosses, railroad ties, oh, Hail Marys, Friday nights, heartbeat, baby, low beam lights. God, I miss when you were mine back when. That song was a song I could sing along without thinking about you every time it came on. Every beat, every line, every word, every time when the road was a road I could run on through without wishing that empty seat was you. Money was gas, dreams were dust, love was fast and we sunset, a cool man kiss, backseat promise, breaking it, floorboard feeling, county lines, God, I miss when you were mine.
And that song was a song I could sing along without thinking about you every time it came on, every beat, every line, every word, every time when I
Does it normally take you a year and a half to make an album? Is that a typical amount of time for Keith Urban?
It's a little longer than normal, but it's because I was working with people I've never worked with before, and in lots of different environments, in different studios, and it was quite the journey. But the fact that the record has turned out so cohesive is I'm really, really happy with.
Of course, you're an international superstar, so the question begs, will you be doing a lot of international touring to support the album?
We will. At a certain point, I know we're going to head back over to the UK and Europe, which we haven't done for a while. We started this tour off down in Australia earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're heading up to Canada shortly. But yeah, certainly the UK, we're going to hit probably more towards the middle of next year once Idol wraps.
And being a family man, how do you balance time with, you know, Nicole and the kids, the girls, and all this?
Well, that's it. I mean, we balance it, and we just sort of figure out, you know, from week to week sometimes how we make it work. But I'm very, very fortunate and blessed to have a wife like Nick who understands it. And we're both working parents. I mean, we both are working parents, and we try and, you know, juggle it all and balance it.
Now, I got some email for you from our international audience. I got one from China, and somebody wrote in and said, so, Keith, you've had 14 number one hits. What's been the highlight in your career? Has it been the music, or what part of this business has really stood out for you?
Oh, there's too many highlights. I mean, everything from winning a Grammy to becoming a member of the Grand Ole Opry to sitting in with the Rolling Stones recently. I mean, there's too many. I feel immensely blessed to to have been able to do the things I've done, and we're still in it. So, you know.
You continue to sell out all these shows, and I mean, what's your favorite part of this business? Is it the writing? Is it the touring? What do you like most about what you do?
I like creating music, whether that be in the studio, whether that be on stage live, and I like it watching how it connects with people. And that's the live thing. And this tour we're doing right now is that on a grand scale as far as watching how it just moves everybody. This is an amazing tour. We've never had anything like this. I'm having a blast out there.
Sounds like you're having a good time. You're on the road with Little Big Town, I guess, and Dustin mm-hmm. Lynch as well. So, and that the tour continues through the rest of the year?
Uh-huh, and probably on into next year as well, most likely.
Wow. Busy, busy, busy guy. Now, in Australia, country music, we don't think of many country singers from Australia. Is country music very prevalent in Australian culture?
Yeah, it is. But I guess when I was growing up, it was more of a subculture. I mean, my parents joined this country music club, and there's these clubs all around Australia. And my parents joined up when I was probably 7. So it's just the sort of culture I grew up in Australia. But my dream was always to hopefully one day move to Nashville.
Now, if somebody gave you the choice and said, Keith, okay, you got to pick either be a songwriter or a singer, which would you prefer?
I really don't know that I could pick between those two. I love them both equally.
Fair answer, fair enough. And here's another question. This one is from a listener in Germany. Where's the strangest place you've ever written a song?
The strangest place. I don't know if it's strange, but a lot of ideas come in the shower. It's probably more like inconvenient than strange.
Well, we...
And this never gets old, I'll bet.
Oh, my gosh. If anything, it gets newer, and it's indescribable how it feels at this stage to be able to do this and make records like the one we've just made. Yeah, I'm quite happy.
Now, I got this from India. Someone wants to know, Keith, this is from a young lady, obviously. Keith, you are gorgeous, and will you ever do any movies?
Movies?
Yeah, movies.
I leave the acting up to my wife, and I think I just focus on what I love, which is music.
Thank you for doing music. Thank you for giving the world the great music that you do, and we're all excited about the new album, Fuse. And I thank you so much for being on the show, and hope to have a chance to get you on VOA television when you do come through this area.
We'd love to do that.
So that we can show the young lady who's listening to us around the world how beautiful you are in person. And so thank you, Keith Urban, for being on the show today. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Really good to talk to you too, Larry.
The album is called Fuse. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Larry London, and we will be back again on Monday with more requests and dedications here on Border Crossings. Always stay tuned to the VOA Music Mix Network.
Larry's on Twitter. Follow him at BCVOA.